obviously haunted.
Obviously.
Spooky season? Spooky season! You don't know about spooky season?
It's not October.
No! Spooky season starts in August and goes through November.
So what you're saying is you just like ghost stories so much that you decided to extend October.
It's not just me.
All the people who like ghost stories are
Oh yeah, and it's not just ghost stories. It's lots of other things. It's
vampire stories.
Vampires, zombies, pumpkin spice lattes. I'm just telling you. Pumpkin anything, really.
I guess for pumpkin things, if you're a pumpkin fan, you just go along with it.
Yeah, exactly. Just go along with it. That's what I'm telling you. In the meantime, we are here today with my amazing and talented and brilliant nephew, Thomas. Thomas, introduce yourself.
I'm Thomas.
Okay, how old are you? Tell me how old you are.
13.
I just can't. So I promised Thomas's mom that this would be a more family-friendly episode of Obviously Haunted. We're going to do our best. I make no guarantees.
Promises?
So today we are doing, because we're in Arizona, and you just moved to Tucson a little while ago, right? How long have you been here?
1 year?
Yeah, that's not very long. Have you gotten to get out and, like, see anything? Go anywhere?
No, circumstances have prevented that.
The worst circumstances. Yes, true. Okay. So today we're going to be talking about a town that you might not have gone to yet, but you definitely could. It is driving distance from you, and that is Tombstone, Arizona. So, without further ado, I'm Becky.
And I'm Thomas.
And Tombstone, Arizona is obviously haunted. Oh, that was good.
Better than I thought it would.
It was good. You've been down to Sierra Vista to see your grandma, right?
Yeah, I have.
But y'all didn't go out to Tombstone?
No.
Do you know anything about Tombstone?
It's, judging by the name, something bad happened there. I think there was some sort of cowboy fight.
Oh, okay.
And people died.
Well, it is a ghost story podcast.
Otherwise, I don't know.
Okay, well, I'll tell you a little bit about Tombstone, Arizona, and then we will get on to the bad stuff that happened there. So Tombstone was a prospecting town founded in 1879. And prospecting is like looking for gold, right? So it's pretty famous for being the epicenter of what was like the lawless West. You know, when they talk about the wild, wild West?
So the Midwest of the Wild West.
Yeah. Was it? I mean, yeah, I guess so, but it's pretty far south, so it's kind of the southwest of the Wild West. But yeah, it definitely was the middle of everything that was going on. So TV, movies, books, all of these types of things, if there are outlaws and there are sheriffs and there are gunfights, it probably took place in Tombstone, Arizona. It grew a lot in the first decade that it was a city. And that's mostly due to the silver mine. So they went there looking for gold, but they found silver. Second place isn't bad. That was a bad joke.
Well, I mean, you're not wrong, because it's not as valuable, but it's still valuable.
It is still valuable. So for that first decade, they grew up a lot. That mine was called the Good Enough Mine, which I think is a cool name.
Good enough?
Good enough,
as yeah. In it's good enough.
Good enough.
Oh, I guess since they were expecting gold, this is good enough.
I bet it's a family name, but whatever. By 1881, they had a school, they had two banks, they actually had an opera house for, like, the highfalutin Tombstonians, and they had a bowling alley.
Did they have a graveyard?
I'm sure they did, but more important than that, they had 110 saloons. So in that first, like, 2 years, they really knew what their priorities were, all right? 110 saloons and 14 gambling halls. So there were some...
What was the population?
Oh, like, all minors. It was all 18 to 24-year-old men,
but
I'm sure.
You know what number?
I have some population information in a minute, so we'll get there.
Okay.
Okay. So mostly, the people who lived there, there were, like, really rich people who came to invest in mines and make money off of other people, like the miners. And then there were cowboys who had their horses and cattle and whatever around. And so there was a lot of tension between those people because the, you know, the rich had their opera house or whatever. And they also had all the money and controlled everything. And really, it was all the other people who were doing the work. Most of the rich investors and the business owners and everything were from the north. So a lot of people came down from New York and Pennsylvania and Massachusetts and places like that. They brought their family money with them, but the ranchers, the people who were here before gold prospecting, they were mostly Southerners. And the Civil War had been over for about 40 years, but there's still a lot of political tension there as well.
So something's gonna happen.
Something's gonna happen. You are not wrong. So this is, there are a lot of conflicts, and that could kind of account for some of the conflicts that happened that led to the thing that we're gonna be talking about today, which is the infamous shootout at the OK Corral. Have you heard of the OK Corral?
I have heard of it. Just sort of.
Just sort of. Okay. I mean, it happened a long time ago.
Well, yeah.
We'll talk about that a little in a little bit, because that's, like, the major story. But the town kept growing. It got pretty huge. It was supported by the miners, who were being paid union wages, which was actually pretty good. So they're young men. They are unmarried. They don't have kids. And they just are, you know, they've got money to burn. They just have money coming out of their ears. And the way that they liked to spend it was in any one of those 110 saloons. So at its height, oh, here's where we get into population. At its height, at like the height of its popularity, no, prosperity, it had about 10,000 official residents.
So for every 1,000 people, there was a saloon?
You know, that doesn't even seem like that much, honestly.
Well, wait, if there's 100 saloons and 10,000 people?
Mm-hmm.
That's 100, I think.
Mm. That seems like a more reasonable number.
So for every 100 people, there was a saloon.
Yeah, you know, because you can't fit more than about 100 people into a saloon at once.
So
you
everyone need another has one. To be in a saloon at once.
Yeah, they're all there. Oh, okay. And that's not counting the thousands of people who were uncounted residents. So there were a lot of people who were probably in and around Tombstone who either avoided being known, like criminals, or who we were just ignoring. By 1882, the Cochise County Courthouse was built in Tombstone. So Cochise County is the county where your grandma lives, where that has a lot of little towns in that area. And Tombstone used to be, because their courthouse was there, so Tombstone used to be kind of like the county seat. Oh, it had a lot of challenges early on in its career as a city, including two major fires. So the first one was in June of 1881. So that was like, it grew really fast, and then there was a huge fire that destroyed about 66 businesses in the town.
How many? So is there like a number? So that's a lot of businesses, but how many businesses were there in the town?
That's a good question. Well, we know there were 110 saloons. So there were at least 110.
So we know at least 40 saloons remained.
Yeah, at least 40 saloons remained. The rest of them were burned. No, I mean, there were other businesses too. You know, there were restaurants and hotels and
still,
schools and
there
things.
There probably weren't that many others.
There probably weren't that many
so
others.
So that is quite a few.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. The second fire, which was almost exactly 11 months later, so not even a whole year, destroyed over 100 businesses and did an estimated $700,000 in damage. And that's not adjusted for, like, our money. So that's not $700,000 now. That's $700,000 Tombstone money where you could, like, live like a king on $15 a month. I don't, that I'm making those numbers up. I'm not, I have no, no reason to think that's true.
But it would be a lot more today.
Yeah, it would be a lot. It would be a lot more today. I should have looked that up. I don't know. What happened after that? So that was like 1882, 1883. What happened after that? The silver boom, which is what made silver really valuable for a minute, ended in 1886. And there was a fire at Grand Central Mine, which was a different silver mine.
The fires just didn't stop.
Oh, man. This place. Maybe it's because it's so hot.
It's probably really dry.
Yeah, oh, yeah, totally. So the fire irreparably damaged the art of mining. What? I need to learn to read. Okay. The fire irreparably damaged a state-of-the-art mining pump that had been imported. Because what happened with the mines, you know, they're real deep down, and they would flood on a regular basis, and people would be dying. People would be dying. People would die, which is unfortunate. So, obviously, the mines are haunted. But also, it just, like, was costly to repair, and it was bad. So, these investors bought these state-of-the-art pumps to keep the water out of the mines.
To prevent money loss.
Exactly. Not, I don't know how worried they were about loss of life, yeah. But yeah, to prevent money loss. And unfortunately, this fire in 1886 damaged that pump, and essentially there was a lot of money put into that.
The pumps.
Yeah. So they couldn't repair it, and then the price of silver actually just fell. Like, maybe they overmined it, maybe it was just a bubble, I don't know about economics, but it fell. So that pretty much led to a steady decline of the town of Tombstone. So at its lowest population, that was in 1910, lowest population, it was at 646 people. So it went from 10,000 people to 646 people.
I wonder how many saloons closed.
None of them. They all just got their own saloon. I mean, probably not. But at that point, it was essentially a ghost town, which just meant there were a ton of buildings and everything, but nothing was being kept up.
So lots of room for ghosts.
Lots of room for ghosts. And it remained the county seat until 1929. I know, I don't get it either. Your face right now, you're like, why?
Why would you keep a 600 people town? The county.
I would bet that there's just not a whole lot else going on out
there. The entire county probably doesn't have much more.
Not really. It's not a big county still. So, but then tourism started to pick up in the area, and it probably helped a lot by all these legends about Tombstone. And the population increased and is currently, as of 2017, so 3 years ago, was at 1,296. Most of those people work as historical reenactors. So most of those people are deeply involved in the tourism industry in Tombstone.
So the only real industry in Tombstone.
It is kind of the tourism. Only real industry there. If you, okay. So I've been, you should go. You should go with Grandma.
And
she
probably saloons.
Oh, yeah, there are saloons, yes. But the saloons are for the tourists, and everyone that works there dresses up like they're, like, Wild Wild West. I'm not even kidding. That's, like, how it works. So your great-aunt Beth, Grandma Kathy's, do you call her Grandma Kathy? What do you call her? You don't call her anything? You don't call your grandmother anything?
I don't know.
Grandma Kathy's sister, Beth, actually owned a stagecoach, like a horse-drawn stagecoach, and did tours there. And she, like, dressed up in, like, the corset and the hiked-up skirt or whatever, and her spouse at the time drove the carriage, and they, like, told stories about Tombstone, and I couldn't do this episode with her because she has opinions about the story that I'm about to tell you. And I think our opinions are not the same. She didn't want to. She didn't want me to, I don't know, make her angry? I'm not sure. I'm not sure how that went down. Your Grandma Kathy wouldn't do it with me either. Okay. So we're going to talk about the historical OK Corral and the legend of Wyatt Earp. Do you know who Wyatt Earp is?
The cowboy?
Literally the cowboy. okay.
I mean,
you don't know any of this story.
Sounds familiar. There was like maybe a doc person?
Yes, good. Yeah, Doc Holliday. Good. All right, cool. So you recognize the name. The name is familiar.
Well, I know people shot at each other and died.
Yes.
And that sounds like a good place for a haunting.
That is absolutely what we're going to talk about. So, Allen Street is like the main thoroughfare in Tombstone. And it's the location of the famous shootout. And it's haunted by dead cowboys, obviously. People have seen misty apparitions in cowboy attire with guns drawn in the spot where the shootout occurred. We're going to talk about that shootout. There's this guy. His name was not Wyatt Earp. His name was Virgil Earp, and he was Wyatt Earp's brother. And he was the marshal of Tombstone in 1881. So it was this was at the height of its prosperity. He was the marshal of Tombstone. His brothers were Morgan and Wyatt. Morgan was a bank security guard, and Wyatt was a former police officer.
Still had jobs, like, protecting things.
Yeah, they all had jobs protecting things, but at least Wyatt's job was a former job protecting things, and we'll talk a little bit about him in a minute, but they kind of took it upon themselves to be the law of the land. So their brother was the marshal. He was there legitimately. He got that job, right? But Virgil, or Morgan and Wyatt, they were just like, our brother's doing this, so we're going to do this too.
It just seems like a kind of dangerous position.
It would be a dangerous position, it's true. So maybe they were just making sure their brother was going to be safe?
I guess.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But there are a lot of different representations of the Earp brothers that make them into these sort of reluctant law enforcement. Like, they don't want to be in charge, but nobody else is going to step up to the plate, you know? Like, they have to because they're strong, good men. But there are also some historical accounts that suggest that maybe they were kind of bullies and they just kind of saw an opportunity to have some power in this town that was, you know, doing pretty well financially. So I'll ask you your opinion after you hear the whole thing. How about that? So the Earp family, you know, like any good legendary human beings, they had an arch nemesis, cowboy gang of ne'er-do-wells. Do you know what the word ne'er-do-well means? a ne'er-do-well is like, it's like a really old-fashioned word, but it just means like someone who doesn't do the right thing.
Oh, okay.
Just sitting around not doing good stuff. Okay. The cowboys that made up the Clanton and McLaurie families, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'm sorry, Tombstone. Clanton and McLaurie families. They were ranchers. They lived outside the Tombstone limits. So let's talk about how the Earps came from out of town and came in, and they're the law enforcement. And then you have the Clantons and the McLaries who, they are from there, from before. And they are ranchers. They do their thing.
But so they were from outside of Tombstone?
The Earps were.
But not the ranchers.
Right. They were from the area. They lived outside the city limits, but they were still, like, they grew up generations there. They were known for cattle rustling, which is essentially stealing cattle from other people. And then they would herd them down across the Mexico border and sell them in Mexico where nobody knew that they were stolen. And then, so they weren't good people. I'm not saying they were good people.
So they were cattle thieves.
They were cattle thieves. They also, I mean, they also had their, like, they did legitimate
business
work as well. Yeah, I mean, they had their own cattle too, but, like, you know, times are tough and they live in the desert. I don't I don't know. They were stealing cattle. They were stealing cattle.
Yeah.
They were known for that, and they had kind of a reputation for theft and also for murder. You know, one or two people that you kill here and there. They got drunk a lot, and they would cause problems in town. So everybody in town knew them, and so...
Probably didn't like them.
Probably didn't like them. It's safe to say. And basically, they represented a threat to the rule of law. Because everybody knew them and sort of let them get away with whatever. And then the Earps are there trying to, like, whip this little town into shape.
There's a problem.
So that's their rivalry sort of came to a head. And it came to a head on October 26th, 1881. Smack dab in the middle of spooky season.
Did the saloons have pumpkin-flavored alcoholic beverages?
I like to think so. They're in there drinking pumpkin whiskey. Sure, why not? And see all the women drinking their pumpkin spice beer. No, pumpkin, no. Ew, gross. Anyway, so the Earps and their friend, Doc Holliday, who said there's a Doc someone? Yeah, there's Doc Holliday, had been sort of cracking down on the Clanton family. So anytime they'd come into town or they were being rowdy or whatever, the Earps would show up, run them out of town. After coming in for supplies on the 25th, Ike Clanton and Tom McLary had several fights with the Earps. So they came in on the 25th and they were just getting into fights. Every business they went into, everywhere they showed up, the Earps were there. They're getting into fights. On the 26th, Ike's brother Billy Clanton, Frank McLaury, and Billy Claiborne. So these are all part of this outlaw gang. They all rode into town and immediately went to one of the 110 saloons. And who they met there was a very drunken Doc Holliday. He was drunk. And he proceeded to brag about how he and the Earps had beaten Ike and Tom and pistol whipped them. So they're all hanging out in a bar together. All of them together. But Doc Holliday is like, oh, remember when we kicked your butts that one time?
So this could have gone really differently if they had come in, like, the next day.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Or it could have gone exactly the same.
And just a day later. I don't know. Who knows? Or if they hadn't run into Doc Holliday, or if Doc Holliday wasn't drinking, or who knows. But they weren't really pleased about it because even though it wasn't like a violent interaction or anything, people are really sensitive about their reputations. And I guess if you're like an outlaw and you like get everything you want by scaring people.
If they're making it so that you're not scary.
Then you're in trouble.
And you have to scare people.
Exactly, exactly. They're not pleased. They left the saloon. Eventually, they met up with Ike and Tom. They gathered in this vacant lot at the end of Fremont Street, which was right outside the OK Corral. So even though it's the shooting at the OK Corral, it wasn't really at the OK Corral. It was outside of the OK Corral.
I guess shooting near the OK Corral.
Shooting adjacent to the OK Corral.
Doesn't have the same ring.
It doesn't. Oh, no. Okay. So the Earps and Holliday found them in this OK Corral adjacent, and it's about 3 p.m. in the afternoon. The gunfight that occurred lasted for less than a minute, so it was less than 60 seconds.
So something that happened for less than 60 seconds is like an entire legend.
Yeah.
Less than 60 seconds.
That's how important it was, Thomas. Okay, well, I mean, there's more to it than that, but the actual gunfight, so obviously this had been building up, the actual gunfight, less than 60 seconds, both sides claimed that the other side shot first. Once the smoke cleared, there were three people dead. Virgil Earp was shot by Billy Clanton in the chest. Doc Holliday fired at Tom McLaury and Wyatt Earp shot Frank McClory in the stomach. So when everything was said and done, Ike Clanton and Billy Claiborne had run off. Billy Clanton and both the McClorys were dead, and everyone but Wyatt was wounded. So that was not, it was not good.
No, not really.
Not really. So the Earps and Doc Holliday were arrested and charged with murder, but they were later acquitted on the grounds of justifiable homicide. So that's part of why they, yes, they were like, they weren't actually law enforcement, right? They were, Virgil was the,
Oh, since they weren't technically supposed to be doing this, it was...
Right, and...
really murder.
And also, even if they were supposed to be doing that, that's where the who shot first comes in.
Oh, because if they shot first, then that wouldn't be defense. That would just be offense.
Right, right. And even if you are law and order, you can't just go around shooting people. You just can't. So they actually went to trial, but they were acquitted. And that's where people, especially people in Tombstone, have opinions about it. Because there are a lot of people in Tombstone who feel like Wyatt Earp and Virgil and Doc Holliday and all those guys were really in it for the right reasons. They were trying to protect people from this horrible gang of outlaws, right? But there are plenty of people in Tombstone who feel the opposite, who think that the Clantons were, like, their homegrown kind of outlaws.
As opposed to manufacture?
Yes, as opposed to, like, shipping them in from New York City. And that they were, you know, that they were a pain, but that they weren't really hurting anybody. Except for maybe the people they stole cattle from. I don't know.
And the two people they murdered.
And the people they murdered. But they, there are people, you know, we'll never know. We don't know. We weren't there. And the records are unclear. So we don't know if it was just...
How did they know who shot who?
I don't know the answer to that question. Science?
They probably only researched it way later. Are they, like, looking at the corpses?
Well, I mean, that's
tracing
how...
tracing fingerprints.
It might have been the guns that everybody had. It could have been... I mean, there were ways that they could make those decisions. But also, I think it's... just from first-hand accounts, you know, I shot my gun, and I shot this person, and that person was shot in that way, so clearly that's what happened.
I pulled the trigger, and they fell.
And they fell, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think, but you have a good point. Who knows? I mean, maybe it's just the people who lived told the story, and we don't really know the real story. But 2 months after the gunfight, so this problem continued, or this drama between these two families continued, because
they, some of them died, but they're still alive.
Right, and also the ones who died were in the Clantons, and so they're now, they've lost some of their family, they're now very upset. So, 2 months later, Virgil Earp is outside of the Birdcage Theater, which was a very famous place for, like, showgirls and stuff. And gaming and playing poker and stuff like that. So he's out right outside and he gets shot, leaving him permanently disabled. So he didn't die, but he did end up permanently disabled from that shot. 5 months after that, in 1882, Morgan Earp was shot and killed while playing a game of pool in a saloon. And the shooter fired through a glass pane door from a dark alley. So it's not like he was shot and killed, like, in a dispute or something like that in a bar. He was shot by someone who was in a dark alley.
He was almost assassinated.
Yeah, he kind of was. He was kind of assassinated. So it's not, there's no proof that the Clantons did these two shootings. But that's what people think.
It would make sense.
It would make sense. The shootout at the OK Corral was immortalized in the media. And it's usually portrayed, especially if you watch any movies, there's a movie called Tombstone from the 1990s. You need to ask your parents if you watch it. I don't know if you're, like, at that level. It's pretty bloody. Do you, you're not there yet. You don't like that kind of stuff. You don't know? I don't know. It's not like watching your weird video game YouTube things. Maybe there's a video game of it. I don't know. So there was a really famous movie about it. And usually it's portrayed as these three, like, men of the law taking justice into their own hands to, like, get rid of this gang of criminals. But it really wasn't that straightforward. And neither side, when you look into who these people were, like, neither side was necessarily good. So it's really hard to say. Wyatt Earp actually spent his life kind of bouncing back and forth. Like, yes, he had been a police officer before getting to Tombstone, but he had also been caught stealing horses or trying to steal horses. He had also been run out of a town for conning people into buying fake gold nuggets. So this is the time where you would, like, pan for gold and you'd get, like, a gold nugget out of the ground. He was selling fake ones to people.
Okay. So, fake gold nuggets and horse stealing.
And horse stealing, yeah.
But then also being a cop?
But then also being an officer of the law, yeah. So, he kind of had both sides, and he definitely had a reputation for gambling. He sort of had... He wasn't the respectable person that most movies and stuff make him out to be. He definitely had his share of mistakes, right? And part of that whole Wild West thing is that a lot of people broke what we think of as, like, the law. You know, that's relatively new. And a lot of people in the West, they didn't have people to hold up the law. So it was sort of just a social contract. And, you know, people broke it all the time. There was a lot of stuff happening that's illegal now.
So was that Wyatt who was doing that?
Mm-hmm.
So Wyatt was almost just as much of, like, a cowboy as the other.
I feel like there are so many cowboys right out there right now who are yelling, cowboys are not all criminals. The cowboy part is more the, like,
just as much cattle. As the, like, Wild West.
Yeah, like a, yeah.
Gunslinging cowboy.
Yes. Yeah, he was. And, yeah, and I think that he probably committed very similar crimes. I mean, if he was stealing horses, how's that any different from stealing some cattle every once in a while? I don't think it's that different. I mean, I guess horses are skinnier. I don't know. He and Doc Holliday actually met because they were both playing poker. So they, like, that, like, friendship, they were gambling. The actual haunting around this, so that's the story. The actual haunting is interesting because the whole town of Tombstone, if you go to Tombstone, A, it's really weird because it's like this tiny town. It does have houses. It does have, like, a school. But it's also basically this one big long stretch where all of the buildings and stuff look like they're straight out of the 1800s. And all of those buildings claim to be haunted. All of them do. So there are a few ghosts that people like to name. They like to say these are the people. There's a ghost of the first Marshal of Tombstone, whose name was actually Fred White. And he was shot while disarming one of the Clanton gang. So he was shot by a member of the Clantons. But he was shot accidentally, and he was taking their guns away and accidentally got shot and died. So his ghost is seen just walking the streets. There's also a ghost that is seen in a long black duster crossing the road at the exact location where Virgil Earp was shot and disabled. That ghost, they think, is Virgil Earp, even though he didn't actually die there. Like, he ended up moving away from Tombstone. But they think that that's Virgil.
The first one.
The second one.
No, I'm asking about the first one.
Oh, okay. The first one.
If they were disarming them,
mm-hmm.
How was he accidentally shot?
Maybe guns were really sensitive back then?
No, but, like, it seems like, did he already have them, like, all pinned down or something?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. So when I read that part of the story, I it seems like maybe there was a struggle for the gun or something like that. Like, if he's like, hey, you criminal, give me that gun. And the criminal's like, no, it's mine. I wish I could answer your question.
Okay.
I can't.
It just, okay, just seems like that could be just as much purposeful as accidental.
It could be. Maybe it was accidental because it could never be proven to be purposeful. Perhaps. Who knows? But it seems, so from what I read, though, and I read about Fred White at one of the buildings in Tombstone. There was, like, a thing, a little, you know, historical marker or whatever talking about him. And it sounded like he and the Clanton gang actually had kind of a mutual respect happening. So it was sort of a thing where he sort of didn't bother them as long as they committed their crimes outside of town. So he was like, if you want to go steal people's cattle, you do you. I'm not gonna stop you. But don't come into my town and start beating people up.
That makes sense then. So yeah.
So there was sort of an understanding with them, which I think maybe that's why they say that it was accidental, because the Clans never really had any problem with Fred. But the Clans definitely had a problem with Virgil Earp. And so that's why everyone thinks, even though there's no proof, they think that it's the Clans who shot him. And his ghost shows up, and part of the reason they think that it's his ghost in that spot, because it's the spot where he got shot, and the ghost always disappears right at that spot. So it's seen crossing the street and disappearing, like, right, sort of like it's right in the moment of being shot. So they think it's Virgil Earp. There's also a woman in a long white dress who wanders the streets. We don't know what it, she might be looking for her child, or she might have been someone who took her own life. And either way, if you listen to the podcast, you know that Allie and I have a theory about every woman in white actually just being the same ghost who, like, bounces around from place to place.
It's like a little, a woman in a long white dress seems really like a cliche ghost.
Oh, totally. She's everywhere. Which, if she's the same ghost, makes perfect sense, right? It's the same person who died and was like, I'm a ghost. Oh man, I could do all the traveling I wanted to do. Just, like, goes and checks things out.
It makes sense.
It makes sense. If you were a ghost, wouldn't you want to, like, go do all the cool stuff that you couldn't do when you were alive?
And also fool every person who...
That's just for fun. That's just an added bonus that I get to, like, create this huge legend everywhere I go. I mean, that's my plan as a ghost. Full disclosure, I am going to be hopping around to everywhere. So, the actual OK Corral is also, the actual OK Corral is also said to be haunted. They hear, people have heard shots in the middle of the night when, and they hear shots all the time because they do, like, recreations there, right? But, so they're, like, constantly gunfire. But they also have heard shots in the middle of the night when there's no shows going on, and there have been, like, weird floaty lights, and people have seen apparitions and stuff like that. So,
general ghosty thing.
Yeah, general ghosty things. They just assume that it's probably because of the people who died in the shootout at the OK Corral. All right, so that was my story. What do you think? Let's just debrief before we give it a grade. What'd you think? You think it's real?
I mean, this entire story is, and it makes sense. So it's very, like, it feels like if there was going to be a haunting, it would be there.
Yeah. Do you think that specifically the ghosts of the Clantons who were shot at the OK Corral would be there? Or is it just a lot of stuff?
I mean, there's so much around the town. So, like, it could be some of them, yeah.
Yeah. There is a lot. It's... Tombstone has a really rich history. I mean, this was just the most famous thing that happened there. But, like we said, when we were talking about the history of it, the fires, that's like, people died, you know? That's a lot of that's a lot of tragedy. And the mines would flood on a regular basis. And there were outbreaks, epidemics. Yellow fever was one, and people died during yellow fever epidemics. So there's been a lot of tragedy that could lead to a lot of different hauntings. And there are other locations that are said to be haunted than just the ones, or the ones that I talked about. I just talked about the ones that were specifically related to, like, the clans, yeah. or...
Those hauntings would make sense as a haunting. Because it's just, like, it feels like a legend.
So you're pretty science-y. Do you believe in ghosts?
I don't know.
You don't know? Have you ever seen a ghost?
I don't think so.
Okay. Have you ever seen anything spooky?
Spooky things, yeah. But it's just because you're, like, paranoid at night. And so anything that's there is just gonna be spooky. If a squirrel is awake in the middle of the night and you're in the woods or something, the squirrel walking across the path will scare you.
What if it's a ghost squirrel?
A squirrel shootout?
Yes, a squirrel. There was a brutal squirrel shootout here. And forever. The ghost of the squirrels. Oh, okay. Yeah, this is the clarity of youth. This is the issue I come up with ghost stuff. When you're talking about, like, generic ghosty things happening. If you're hanging out in Tombstone at night, you're probably going to experience some creepy stuff just because, like you said,
because
you're
paranoid. Because it's Tombstone.
Period. It's Tombstone. Yeah, you really ought to go there. I'm going to post some photos of the trip I took with my mom with your Grandma Kathy because it's a cool place. A lot of history. You can go down in the mine. Are you... You've been in a mine. We went into a mine together in Wisconsin. You were little. You were like... You weren't that little, but you were little.
I remember a mine.
Yeah, in Wisconsin. We got A&W root beer before.
Oh, I do sort of remember that.
I remember the A&W root beer. It was delicious. So you can, yeah, you can go down the mine there, and you can go to the OK Corral, but I'm not going to lie, it's a little bit touristy. I don't know if it's worth it. I mean, I've been, so it's probably worth it. Okay, but we're going to give it a grade. So it's just like school. We're just going to give it a grade.
But what are the criteria? Like, if you had a rubric for...
You and all my teacher friends. Do I need a rubric?
I don't like rubrics, but I'm just saying, when you're grading something, a rubric makes it easier.
It's very helpful. So I don't know if I have a rubric, but I will say, I would say grade it based on the quality of the story. Like, is the story compelling? Do you think it's interesting? Do you think that it's likely to be a haunting? Like, it's a believable haunting? And then, I don't know, like, do you just think it's, like, a cool thing to learn about or know about?
Okay.
Letter grade. You don't have to give it a number grade. We don't have to tally points or anything. Just, you know.
Letter grades are easier.
Yeah.
I guess I'd give it an A.
You give it an A? Why? What's,
okay,
for what?
I think, because I definitely give it an A for the, like, the story and the haunting thing, because it just would make sense if this happened, all this happened, and so if there's going to be a haunting, that would be a likely place.
I agree.
And it is kind of an interesting story.
Okay. There was so much that I didn't put down in my notes that I wish I had. There's so much. It's a really complicated story, and Wyatt Earp as a human being is a really interesting person and worth kind of learning about just by himself, because he went on to live in Hollywood and, like, work on, he sort of had this reputation in Hollywood, like, he really liked to be known as this upstanding, like, hero of the Wild West, and he's actually kind of the reason that people know about the shootout at the OK Corral, because he sort of rubbed elbows with producers and movie makers and had his story told. So
he probably might have made it a little more in his favor.
Oh, I would say he most definitely made it a little more in his favor, because it's not like he talked about his past of of stealing horses and gambling and drinking. Like, he definitely made himself into the good guy, and that's why it's a little more complicated. But I think you're right that as far as if ghosts are real, I like to think, or not like to think, I don't know. It seems like the reason you would haunt a place would be because something tragic happened there, or violent, or unfair, you know? And it's definitely a story that has tragic ends for people, violent ends for people, and not just for the Clantons and the Earps. I mean, a lot of people suffered there. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a, it's prime real estate. Prime haunted real estate is what I'm saying. Go buy your haunted house in Tombstone, Arizona. So I would say, I agree with you. I'm going to give it an A. I would maybe give it a B+, but I'm usually a nice grader, so...
Why would you give it a B+, though, and not an A? I mean, you've done all these, and so you probably might have, you've heard more, and you have more of an idea of what...
But I also, because I've heard more, I have more biases. And one of my biases is, if somebody's making money off of it, then it's probably not real. And that might be, I mean, like I said, it's a bias. Who knows? But...
So what you're saying is that since it's such a touristy thing, it's less of, it seems like it would have been made more spooky.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think so. Like, if it was real, then maybe it wouldn't be as much of a touristy thing, or it would have been harder to, like, find the information. But somebody is definitely, like, they definitely make money from tourism, and this story and even the idea of hauntings that go around it, like, that's what draws people to Tombstone. So whether anyone's seen anything or not, it pays to lie.
It also sort of ends up building on itself. So if there's something small there, but then people hear about the small thing, then it's a bigger thing, and then more people come, and it's a bigger and bigger thing.
So really, it was a ghost squirrel, and then it turned into all these humans.
So I was saying there's a duel between two ghost squirrels.
Ghost squirrels.
But then it became an entire shootout, and then they turned it into people.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, nobody wants to see squirrels. Squirrel ghosts. I mean, I want to see that. If anyone knows of some squirrel ghosts, let me know, because I'm interested. But I think that's what it is. So I don't necessarily think that... It seems like a very compelling story. The history is really interesting. The place is really interesting. But I think that I'm a little suspect of hauntings having to do with, like, famous figures and famous events. And that's just me. But, so I think, in, you know, your A and my B+, it really is an A. If that was the, if we were grading a human being here, I would give them an A. Just, you know, because it's just mean to give them, like, an 89.5 or whatever. Like, that's mean.
Have you ever done anything on animal hauntings?
I haven't. I should. I think there are a few. I think a lot of them are not in the United States. And as of yet, I have not traveled outside of the United States. But maybe in season 2, we'll get some international hauntings. And maybe I'll have to find a good animal
some
haunting.
Some good squirrel hauntings.
Definitely squirrel hauntings. that's my next. I'm looking for some squirrel hauntings here. So, thank you so much, Thomas, for doing this with me. I hope you had a good time.
It was fun.
Good. Everybody out there, please remember to subscribe and rate and review Obviously Haunted. It really helps us out. It helps people find us so that they can listen to us, so that I can make money at this eventually. I'm kidding. I'm gonna cut that out. Anyway, it's I do it for the joy and for the love, and I love when people are listening, so please help people find us. And we're on all the social medias if you want to at me about mispronouncing tombstone names
or squirrel hauntings.
Or squirrel hauntings. If you want to send us your squirrel haunting stories, please contact us at obviouslyhauntedpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to check out the website for show notes and links to all of our stuff, that is obviouslyhaunted.com. And if you really like what we're doing and you want to help me be able to get a better microphone or, like, some headphones or maybe just pay for my website, then you could be a patron. And now every tiny itty-bitty little bit helps. Check out our Patreon. And, you know, if you can help out a little bit, it keeps the show going. So thank you so much, more than anything else, for just listening. And remember, Tombstone, Arizona is obviously haunted. Yay! Oh, that was really good. You did the obviously haunted part really good. Should we eat dinner?
What time is it? It's 5.
It's time for dinner.
6.